We're going to pick up here where we left off. We finished up last week. We finished up Revelation chapter 20. And what a scene we're looking at in the Bible. For those of you that are just kind of just now joining us, we've been going through Revelation and we're getting down here to the end. And what you're looking at is pretty scary stuff. We finished off Revelation chapter 20. It says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And you're not hearing it preached nowadays in churches. I think if you picked a book of the Bible that was extremely messed up by most churches and most Bible teachers nowadays, it'd be Revelation. That's one of the most messed up books you'll ever hear taught on. Another one that's messed up is Matthew. Preachers mess that book up real bad. Another one they make a complete mess of is Hebrews. The reason I'd say that they mess up Revelation is because of a lack of faith. You understand what I'm saying? I believe this. I believe God said what He meant and meant what He said. Period. So I don't believe the Bible's that hard to understand. I don't buy that stuff. I think it's hard to believe sometimes. Right? So the issue is not whether or not people understand what they're reading. The issue is whether or not they believe what they're reading. And in this church, we believe the Word of God. I believe every word of that book that's sitting in your lap. I believe God said He'd give you His Word, right? And He said He'd preserve it from this generation forever. That means if God promised He'd preserve His Word forever, that means what you have today is the preserved Word of God forever. Let me ask you this question. If you don't have a Bible, what do you have? No, really. I mean, what do you have? How do you have any proof? If you don't have anywhere in the world a book where God wrote down to you what has happened, what is happening, and what's going to happen, if you don't have a book like that anywhere in the world, what do you got? Science? Have you noticed what they're doing with science? Have you noticed how much science has supposedly changed? Have you noticed the people that claim there is no God and tell you to put your faith in science are now telling you that science isn't science? They're just denying obvious science. I mean, we're not even talking about politics. We're not even talking about, you know, well, people are coming from different points of view. We're talking about hard, cold, undeniable facts of life that now are all up for a debate. Have you not noticed the people that actually authored the science books doubt and correct and critique and criticize their own books? Have you noticed how much science has changed over the years? You're going to put your faith in science. Well, not falsely so-called. I love science. Sciences and maths are what I like to study. I enjoy it. I was pre-med originally when I was running from God, didn't want to be a preacher, knew God wanted me to be a preacher, wanted nothing to do with being a preacher. I don't know of any 17-year-old young boy anywhere on the planet whose grandpa is a professional boxer and his uncles are wrestlers and all that stuff. That's what I looked up to, you know, military men, that kind of deal. And, you know, I'm going to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. You know what I did enjoy? I went to school for science. I like it. I like pre-med. I like to study that stuff. I think it's interesting. I'm not telling you I don't believe in science. I'm telling you I don't believe in science falsely so-called. And the more I study my Bible, I realize that God is the author of science, real science God created. So the Bible stands up to scrutiny. The more you study it, the more you're going to realize. I'm telling you, man, the more you study that book, the more you're going to know that a being smarter than you, bigger than you, with more knowledge than you have, wrote that book and gave it to you, and He's proven it. The fingerprints of God are all over the Bible. The prophecies in the Bible, if you've never looked at or studied what the likelihood is of one prophecy coming true, one, it's more than hitting the lottery. You have a better chance of hitting the lottery than you do of writing a book this many hundreds and thousands of years beforehand and having everything come through on the money that God said was going to come through when He said it was going to come through. The Bible is an unbelievable, mind-blowing, mind-boggling book. It is literally the heart, the plan, the understanding of God on paper. And I'm telling you, this book tells you that if your name is not in the book of life, when you stand before Almighty God, you're going to split hell wide open and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Now listen, preachers don't tell you that anymore. You know what they are? They're dumb dogs that can't bark. Well, thank God, so far I think I still got my bark. I don't bite. Really, I'm a pastor. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm barking to warn you and wake you up and let you know danger is coming and there's something you need to do about it. And the day is coming when you're going to stand before Almighty God and this world that you think is so important. Are you hearing me? This world you think is so important. This life that you're living that just means everything to you. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your career. I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's your parents. I don't care if it's your husband, your wife, your children. Whatever it is that's so important to you right now. It's all going to be gone according to this book. And every prophecy he gave before came true on the money every single time. It's not even a gamble as to whether or not it's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. The day is coming that God is going to melt this thing, the world you're standing on, with a fervent heat. And it's all going to disappear. And we're all going to be standing before the great white throne judgment. You're going to be standing on absolutely nothing before God. You're not even going to have the earth under your feet anymore. You're going to stand and be standing before God, and everybody in the universe will be there. And if your name ain't in the book of life, you're getting cast from that point into the lake of fire. I'm trying to tell you that the earth that you're on, that you're so attached to, the life you feel is so important, the things in life you want to accomplish, whatever it is you're looking for in this world, is not worth it without Jesus Christ. You know what's the great thing about the Bible? The Bible says He has given us all things that we may richly enjoy. You know what happens to saved people that got their name in the book of life and understand who God is and get a godly perspective on life and understand that this whole planet is going to be dissolved, it's going to melt away, God's going to blow it up. A loud noise, a fervent heat, like a nuclear bomb like has not yet been invented by man, is going to blow this thing up so bad, the whole universe, He's going to just wipe the thing out and you're going to be standing before God on nothing. You know those of us that believe that? And say, well, then I guess this tiny little life that I'm living, 70, that's 70. If by reason of strength, 80. Your grandma this morning as she was leaving, I think she said she's been a mom for 62 years now. She's got past the 80. And just like that, she said, I can't believe it's gone that fast. Her oldest son is 62 coming to pick her up today. I can't believe how quick it's gone. He looks good for his age, is what she said in her mid-80s. And then it's over, just like that. Those of us that got the Lord and know where we're going when we die, you know, all of a sudden we actually start enjoying life. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad I don't need to party to enjoy my life. Man, what a blessing that is. I'm glad I'm not relying on some kind of a liquid I got to pour down my throat or something I got to smoke in order to escape my problems and relax and chill and have a good time and get a rush. I don't need all that. You know what I got? I got the God of the universe that's going to blow the whole thing up, that created it all. He's given it to me to richly enjoy. I actually enjoy my life. I know I don't look like I'm happy, but don't judge me by my face. I enjoy my life. I'm so glad to be saved, it's not even funny. I'm so thankful that God's given me a Christian home and a godly wife for almost 22 years now we've been married. And man, it's just a blessing. God's given me 4 kids that so far haven't just been, they've been a blessing to us. I love my kids. I love my church. I'm not interested in your family. I'm not interested in anybody else's church. I'm glad at where to go. Not far. There we go. I'm not interested in anybody else's church. I'm not interested in anybody else's family. I'm not interested in your house, your cars. I'm thankful for what God's given me. You know why? It's not because I got it better than everybody else. It's because I got God. You understand that's the most important thing in the world? When you get to chapter number 21, God's showing you what He's going to do after He burns up the planet you're on. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now notice the wording. You see how that's a singular. New heaven, not heavens. See that? "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." See it? "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride." You see that? "Adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Now watch this in verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are what? They're faithful and they're true. He did not say, for these words are an allegory. These words are a type. These words are for you to take and interpret however you want to interpret them. He said, Write, for these words, not the general message, not the overarching principle, not the concept. These words are faithful and true. You want to know how crazy I am? I believe this. I believe if there was one mistake in my English Bible, my King James Bible, if there was one mistake, that it would no longer be the Word of God. How do I know? It's either perfect like He said it is, or it's not. You know what He's given you? Faithful and true words. So you know what this means? This means literally the day is coming when God's going to melt the planet you're on with a fervent heat. But all the scientists, you know, that don't believe in God are squawking about global warming this and global warming that. And the earth is heating up. And oh, what are we going to do? We better fix the problem. We got to fix the problem. And they're putting out their movies, you know, these Ice Age, you know, the underlying tone to all these movies to brainwash the kids that we're ruining our planet. Hey, you know what God said? God said in the tribulation period, the sun is going to scorch them. That there's going to be a drought. And that they're going to shake their fist to heaven and curse God to His face because they know it's God. God told you long before scientists ever figured out that the ozone layers are depleting is what they were saying when I was a kid. Well, God said in the book of Psalms, thousands of years ago, that the heavens were going to wax old. The Bible's a scientific book. Proof that there's a God in heaven and He gave you a book is that He said they were going to wax old, and the scientists think they're so smart because we're just now discovering that the ozone layer is depleting and global warming this and global warming that. God's going to cook this puppy in the tribulation period.
Yeah.
Now you live in Michigan, don't you? You're getting close to the coming of the Lord, ain't you?
Yeah.
Now come on, you've been in Michigan in the winter. Now, don't even think about moving to Florida. Do you understand how miserable it's going to be down there?
Yeah.
I mean, our winters are getting better. Jesus is coming soon. Do you understand the point I'm making? We'll get to enjoy our winters a little before He comes. Amen. What you worrying about? What are you worrying about? I'm not saying go litter and destroy everything, but I mean, if you want to buy a truck, buy a truck.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's all in God's control. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
He said it's going to burn up. He told you it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. And what's going to happen is you're all one day, everybody on the planet, saved or lost, go to Romans chapter 14. Everybody on the planet, saved or lost, sooner or later, is going to confess something. Now, you might not believe it now, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean you're not going to confess the truth when you're face to face with it. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord. He swore by eternity. He swore by omnipotence. He swore by omniscience. He swore by all that is. He said, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. It's going to be something else to watch Lucifer bow. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You want the mind of Christ, right? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's the mind you're supposed to have. A visitor said to me this morning, and kindly, he was just joking around, it really was not a problem, and I was not being snarky back with him. But he jokingly said, so you're the boss. And I don't know why I said this, because I don't like super spiritual talk, but I really didn't mean it super spiritually. I said, no, I hope I'm the chief servant. I really meant that. I want the mind of Christ. at what he was saying was kind, and what he was saying was actually respectful. He wasn't being a jerk at all. And I appreciate that attitude, really. But man, it just hit me in the moment. And I said, no, I hope I'm the chief servant. That's what he did. What a Savior, man. The one that created this thing, he spoke it into existence. And God said, let there be light. He formed you out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life and you're a living soul. You know what drives every individual on the planet to find the truth, to seek God, or to deny the truth and kill it and quench it and get rid of it? You know why people are so miserable? You know why people give themselves to drugs and alcohol and religion and everything else that they give themselves to try to satisfy that need down in the soul? It's because God created in you an empty space that cannot be filled until you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, until God Himself moves into your heart and into your life and into your soul, till you bow your knee to His Son and confess Him as your Savior. You will never be able to fill that spot. I don't care what you do with your life. You understand that? And then once you're saved, Christian, you are never going to be a happy individual until you give your heart, your mind, your soul, your life, everything you are to the one that bought you. You'll be miserable until you get right, until you get filled up with Him. So this is what your Lord did, your Savior did, the Creator did, the one that's going to blow it all up and they're going to be standing before Him. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, that's a weird will that God would have for His Son. Wherefore, because He humbled Himself, because He went to the cross and bore your sin on the cross of Calvary, because He lived the perfect life in your place, God hath also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, watch it, and things under the earth. You see that? What did I show you over there in Revelation chapter 20? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead are judged out of the things that are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. He calls up everything. The devils are called up. Everything stands before God. Everything Satan has procreated, everything that exists is standing before God right there. And they're getting judged. That's a scary thought. At the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, at the great white throne judgment, God the Father is going to get so much glory because all those that rejected His Son, Jesus Christ, are bowing the knee saying, you're right! Yes, you're right! You're going to tell me Satan's going to bow the knee humbly? He's going to be forced to bow the knee. And I imagine, boy, I imagine he's going to be so angry. Put him where he belongs. There they go off into a lake of fire and spend eternity. Now, I don't want to be in that spot. When I used to preach in the jails, the illustration that I would use is this. I would talk to the guys and I'd say, you know, let's just say you're guilty. A lot of times they say they're not, you know. So let's just say you're guilty. The ones that are honest, when I throw this stuff out there, I can figure out who's who. The ones that are honest that I can actually help are like, they put their head down, I'm guilty. Those are the guys I focus on. Say, let's say that I've come in here with one of my kids and my kid's never done anything wrong. Just literally like the perfect kid. But that kid loves me and I love her. I only got girls, so I love her. And I say, you know what? I got a deal between me and my kid. She's going to take your punishment. She made a deal with the judge. And your sentence, she's going to take. All you got to do is bow your knee and say, you know what? I deserve the punishment I got coming. She didn't deserve it. And I want to say I really appreciate you for doing what you did to pave my way. I accept my guilt and I receive your gift. You paid the price for me. You're willing to pay the price for me. Thank you for what you did, and I'll take it. And if you'll take the free gift, if you humble yourself and you'll ask for forgiveness, and you'll put your sin on her account and let her put her righteousness on your account and have your judgment paid for, you can walk out that door. What? Wow, right? Wow. You going to accuse me at that point of being a hateful person? You're going to say, how could you fill in the blank? Of course you wouldn't, right? This is what I'd ask the guys. I said, what about, because you guys understand, right? If you gave your kid for somebody like that, you understand that feeling, right? What about a guy that says, no, I'm innocent. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm innocent. I'm not receiving her. I'm not sure that I even believe that anyways. How do I know you really made a deal with the judge? And how do I know they're actually going to let me walk out of here? I'm not doing that. You know what? I'm going to appeal. I'm going to appeal because when I appeal, I'm telling you that they're going to let me off. I'll get there myself. You know what I tell them? It's just guys in the jail. I say, now, wait a second. Do you think for 2 seconds I wouldn't step out that door, pull a pin on a grenade, roll that grenade in, slam the door shut, and stand there and watch you guys just pop all over the walls? You think I wouldn't do that? She's paid the price already. She's already has to do the time. She didn't deserve it, but she loved me enough to humble herself and say, Dad, if that's what you want to do to save all those guys from paying the debt that they owe, then that's fine, I'll do it. Could you imagine how much I would love her? You think I wouldn't roll it? Come on, Dad. Look, don't sit there looking all spiritual and godly in church. Don't you think you'd pop the pin on that grenade, roll it in there, shut the door, and stand there outside the bulletproof glass and watch them splatter? Sure you would. They had it coming. Now that's what God's going to do with people that reject His Son. Do you understand that? Eternity in the lake of fire. People say, how could a loving God, how could He not? Don't you understand the love He had for His Son? And people shake their fists in the tribulation in His face and curse Him to His face, knowing it's Him doing it in His judgment on their life. And they've got an opportunity, and He keeps giving them an opportunity, just like He's giving you and I today. And people walk away from it and say, no, I'll be good. I don't want to be on that side of God. That scares me half to death. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather bow the knee today. Because what I'm trying to tell you is that I don't care who you are, I don't care where you're from, I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how unsmart you may be, I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, I don't care what you are at all, you are going to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. It will happen. I highly recommend you do it now. Because when you do it there, it's too late. And that day's coming. And so we went through that already, and now we got a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Now go back with me, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 1. I want you to see something. What's happening is we're coming full circle in our Bible. I want you to see something in Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 1. Now I'm going to try very hard not to confuse you. I'm not an artist, okay, as most of you know. So I'm going to do my best not to confuse you. But I got to show you this stuff in your Bible. That's not an egg. That's actually the earth. Okay? I'm not an artist. Have I mentioned that to you? Okay. You see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created. What's it say? It doesn't say heavens, does it?
No.
You know what a lot of the new Bibles say? Heavens. That's not what the Bible says. Look at verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Wait a minute. Have you ever run the references in your Bible on without form and void and darkness? Something happened. Listen to me. For whatever reason, a lot of the fundamentalists just lose their minds when we say, you're sitting on the second creation, the third one is to come. I have no idea what the problem is. They panic so bad that they're trying to say that you're a theistic evolutionist, which is an unbelievably ridiculous argument. What I'm telling you is that before the planet was suspended in outer space like it is right now, it was floating in water, it was the original creation, and Lucifer was the god of it. Let me show you some cross references quickly. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And what I'm going to try to run you through here as quick as I can to get us caught up to where we're at. So we're not going to get very far in Revelation 21 tonight. Ezekiel 28, look at verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. This was where he was at. I don't know how to do fork. Does that look like horns? No. He was the anointed cherub that covered this earth, right? I was actually joking. I wasn't really trying to draw. And he walked up and down in the midst of the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of these with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. You know what he was? He was the God of this world. He was ruling and reigning. That's so bad, I got to get rid of it. He was ruling and reigning on this earth. It was a mountain of God. That original creation, when God created it and put Lucifer over it before man was created, was the earth floating in water. Watch this. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. For some of you, this is repetition, and I apologize, but you got to stay with me and maybe pick up on something you didn't get before. The Lord will keep giving you little tidbits here and there as we go along. So it does tie into Revelation 21. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, so the heavens that we have now, see how that's plural? They were previously of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, that's why I drew it like a bobber floating in water. That's not talking about the oceans and then the continents. That's the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The holy mountain of God in the original creation with one heaven. There was no difference between God and what he had created because there was no sin yet. And he put Lucifer, the anointed cherub, over it. And he was the one walking back and forth. He said, I'm going to exalt my throne. I'll be like. Everybody always says he wanted to dethrone, you know, dethrone the MMA guys with their dethrone shirts. Look. He didn't say, I want to dethrone God. He said, I want to be like him, equality. Me and God are equals. I deserve it. He just wanted to get up to that level, that's all. He should be as gods, right? So he's the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and it says, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So what happened with this thing is God took this earth, when Lucifer tried to rebel against him, and God smashed it. And he sunk it and flooded it out. This is Genesis 1, 2. This is Genesis 1, 1. The more you study your Bible, the more you read the book of Job, the more you run the references, the more this comes more and more into the picture. So when Lucifer tried, God said, stomp that thing right down and just... this massive supernatural flood. And then, Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. Watch it. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Oh, look, wait, stay right here real quick. Verse 7. But the heavens, see that? And the earth which are... You guys, that means there was one here before. By the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. When God destroys it the next time, he's burning it up. Go back to Genesis 1-2. So what does God do in verse number 2? It says the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Nowhere that God creates anything is it without form, void, and dark. That's always judgment. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now watch it. God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. There's your proof that those waters aren't the ocean and continents between. Because it didn't say, let there be earth in the midst of the waters. It said, let there be a firmament. That's heaven in the midst of the waters. So what He did is He divided the waters from the waters. So what you have is a recreation where God takes the waters that are here, He divides them. And He hangs the earth upon nothing. And He puts a star, and He made the stars also in the Genesis 1, Genesis 2 account. You know where His throne is? Did I not show you how when you see Him in heaven, He's standing on a sea of glass? He's got to open the door to heaven. When Lucifer comes and stands before the Lord, more than likely he's coming up to the bottom of that sea of glass and looking up to the Lord through that thing, and they're communicating. Now you see through a what darkly? Oh. You know what's at the top of outer space? A sea, a frozen sea of water. And He divides the waters from the waters, and He hangs the earth that you're on upon nothing. In 6 literal days. He took this, and in 6 literal days did this with it. One day at a time. No Bible believer, no real Bible believer is a theistic evolutionist. No real Bible believer believes that. We believe He did it by speaking it. Boom. Stars. Boom. Sun. Boom, just like that. Just spoke it and it was happening one day at a time. And seeing it, and it was good. Just like you've always believed. The difference is we study our Bible and we let the Bible correct our doctrine. We don't correct our Bible with our doctrine. The Bible corrects our doctrine. We study the Bible and we let God be the boss. We let God be true and every man a liar. Go to Genesis. I'd like to show you another one here. Where is it? I think it's Genesis 9. I'm trying to find it. Hang on one second. Genesis 9:11. He says, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a what? Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. You know what God promised? No more water. Now, why did God promise Noah that? You know what Noah must have known? This ain't the first time. God said, Noah, I promise. I'll put a bow in the sky and I'll promise you by that rainbow. That's my sign to you that when it's raining and there's bad storms and the sun pokes through that rainbow and that miraculous thing starts happening, that is God saying, I won't drown you out ever again. He didn't say, I'll never destroy it again. He said, I won't drown it ever again. Now, you think it's a coincidence that a bunch of people that don't believe in God, don't believe the Bible, reject the authority of the Bible, believe that they came from monkeys, use a rainbow to rub their unnatural behavior in the face of God? You think that's a coincidence? Doesn't the Bible say the words nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, and this entire country, all these young people that don't even know the Bible, use that as their symbol. I just didn't know God. He's going to say, yeah, you did. Look what you hung up everywhere. Look what you posted on your social media. Look what you wore on your shirt. Look at your badge. You knew. You know what a rainbow is and you know where it's from. And it's a pure thing. It's a holy thing. And we take something that's holy and turn it into a representation of something that God says an abomination. That's scary to me. You know what you got now? You got a first heaven, which is the firmament right around the current planet where the birds fly. If I could draw a bird, I'd draw a bird. Right? You got a first heaven. What you have right here is you got the second heaven. That's where the sun, moon, and stars are. You know what you got? That's the third heaven. That's where God dwells. You know why in some places the Bible says heavens, and in other places it says heaven? Because we're just crazy Bible believers who just take it too far and we just don't get it. Just cultists. Just a bunch of weirdos. Or because we believe that God Almighty, when He said He promised He'd preserve His Word from this generation forever, the one that spoke the world into existence. The one who gave you three breaths from the time I said existence to the time I started to speak again. The one who woke you up this morning. The one who measures the waters in His hand. He holds the waters of the earth in His hand. The one who the heavens is thrown. You can't even imagine the size of heaven. You remember not long ago we talked about how long it would take you to get to certain planets and all that stuff. How many thousands and thousands of years it would take you. Hundreds of thousands of years to make it. You know you couldn't walk to the moon? It's not even that far away. You know how far it is? You know what a light year is? You know how far out those planets are spread? You know, the flat earthers want you to think that God's throne is about 20-something miles or 70-something miles or whatever above your head. I mean, I don't even care what the number is. You know, they think He's just like right there. You could throw a rock and hit Him. You know, like it's some kind of a movie you're living in. Too much TV. The earth is my footstool. That God, that great big old massive God, woke you up this morning. Gave you the... What a God, man. Amen. And what He tells us in His book is, in the beginning, God created the heaven. That God. Spelled it H-E-A-V-E-N. Do you think that God knows the difference between heaven and heavens?
Absolutely.
Is it stretching your mind? Is it really stretching your faith? Honestly, I'm asking you seriously to think about it. Is it really stretching your faith to think that God knows the difference between heaven and heavens? Is it that hard to believe that the God that can create the whole thing could give you a book that's perfect all the way down to whether or not there should be an S on the end of a word or not?
I just don't feel like it takes that much faith.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Here's Paul being humble. He's talking about himself. You know what he's talking about himself. Well, look at verse 1. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He's saying it doesn't really get me anywhere to brag about it. But since you Corinthians need to look up to a man so much, I'll give you my testimony. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He had an out-of-body experience. See, you don't need drugs.
Right.
Telling you, living for God is exciting, man. I'm telling you, it's exciting. I've had some exciting times since I got saved. Man, it's been good. I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the what heaven? You know what that means? There's three. That's why we know right here is the first, where the birds fly, the planes fly. We're supposed to stay in that zone. That's where God allows us to stay, and that's it. He actually wants you feet planted on the ground. He doesn't want you out here. Because the Bible says there's principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Are there aliens out there? Yeah, if you want to call them aliens, you can.
Right.
Is there intelligent life that are greater than us? Yeah, if you want to call them intelligent life greater than us, you can. That's fine. You can call them that. You want to know what the Bible calls them? How about if I give you a Bible word for it? The Bible calls them devils. The Bible calls them wandering spirits. The Bible says they're in chains of darkness. Do you really want to go out there? Do you know we're going to see in Revelation 21 and 22, God's going to populate all that? Ain't it funny how we're obsessed with doing all the things that God says He's got it taken care of? God is going to populate outer space. Those planets you're looking at, those stars, they're all going to be inhabited in eternity future. Intergalactic travel. And you're going to get, if you're saved, you're going to get to be there to enjoy it. In the meanwhile, you better stay within the parameters of what God gives you and don't stretch yourself and exercise yourself after things that are too high for you. Just figure out what God wants from you and give God what He wants out of your life and don't worry about the rest of it. Trust God. Because that's scary stuff out there. All these scientists that are warping the minds of our children. I spend 3 days a week is all I got, and I do everything I can to try to wash out the minds that are getting polluted and corrupted constantly by these scientists that supposedly don't want you to believe in God, want you to throw away every bond and every ban that God puts on you, every rule and every boundary because they think they're setting you free. They don't know anything about what's out there. Do you understand that? Don't trust me. Go look it up. Go find out how much NASA actually knows about outer space. They'll tell you themselves that they have vast, vast vacuums of knowledge of what actually exists out there. They're all guessing at everything. It's driving me nuts to watch people throw away their lives, disregard God, disregard the Bible, without even giving God and the Bible a chance. If you just give it an honest chance, I'm telling you, if you give it an honest chance, you'll be shocked at what God can do in your life through that book. It's amazing. And He told us there's three heavens. That's where we're at now. So we already saw that in Revelation, Jesus Christ comes back, right? And He rules and reigns on this planet for 1,000 years, right?
Yes.
And at the end of that 1,000 years, as we already saw, He just blows it up. Let me try to do this if I can. That's worse than an egg. I don't know what that was. Are those flames? That looks like Bart Simpson. You know I'm from the 90s, huh? That's bad. Sorry. You know what that is? That's 2 Peter. We already read it. Did we already read that tonight? Elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. He's going to burn it up. That's the end of what you're sitting on. God does things in threes, right? Have we talked about that? God does things in threes. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, sun, moon, and stars. Go on and on with it. You watch it. It's just all over creation. It's the fingerprints of God on everything in creation. They talk about the Bible, you know, all the originals. He gave the Old Testament in Hebrew, 1. He gave the New Testament in Greek, 2. He put them both together in one book for the end times in the universal language of the end times, English, 3. King James Bible. God does everything in threes.
Yes, sir.
It's wild. You know what He did? He drowned it the first time. He recreated it. Then He floods it the second time. He burns it up the third time. And this time He's done. He's had it. Which takes us off into where we're at now in eternity future. What happens after the great white throne judgment, right? When all the souls are cast into hell. Here's the throne of God, the best I can. And we'll look into this city next week. But here's the New Jerusalem. And best we can tell, it's shaped something like that. And the New Jerusalem comes down from God. And from what we can tell, it looks like it's kind of suspended right over the earth. That's the new heavens and the new earth. He recreates them. The new heaven, excuse me, and the new earth. You know what we did? We did a full circle. From where it fell, where He originally wanted it. He's taken all these centuries to bring it all the way back to where He intended it to be back here. Isn't that wild? You know what a bunch of sons of God did back here? The sons of God? You guys know what the sons of God are, right? We've taught on that.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem with people. They don't believe the Bible. And the problem with the stinking preachers, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to just always put them down all the time. There's some good ones out there. Thank God for them. But the problem with the modern day preachers, they don't believe the Bible they were given. They care more about their seminary education, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have one. They care more about your seminary education and their friends and what their friends think than they care about God and the truth and giving you the truth.
Amen.
I think you guys should go to Bible school, but you need to make sure you go to a Bible school where the guys that teach you the Bible believe the Bible they're teaching you. I mean, you can't smell a rat. I heard a message by a preacher where he used the illustration, and I actually been using it. He said he was at the gym or something, and he was sitting in the sauna, and some young guy came in and was sitting in the sauna, a college-educated kid, and they got going, and he got the witness into the kid. And he said to the kid, he said, "You go to college?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "Shame on you." And the kid said, "Huh?" He said, "Yeah, shame on you." He's an old school preacher, you know. He said, "Shame on you." The kid said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You're a smart, intelligent, college-educated young man, and you can't tell when somebody's lying to you? Shame on you, man." He said, "Well, you got a point. Like, help me out, right?" I mean, sometimes you guys got to realize if you know the old guy loves you and you can kind of sense that he's trying to help you out, you can take it like a man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've used that trick. Witness to a doctor. "Oh, come on, doc, you're too smart for that. You can't possibly be that. Come on, doc, come on. You're too smart for that. Shame on you. You can't figure that out?"
Yeah.
Give me an article on religion. Oh, man, I got my rebuttal so ready, it's not even funny. My response is going to start with, "You know who wrote that?" I'm banking on the fact that he didn't do the research. He just saw the title. And so even if he did do the research, it's fine. But I'm banking on getting him with the first one. "You didn't see who wrote that?" He's going to say, "Well, you know, yeah, a Jew. A Jew that doesn't believe in the Messiah. And you didn't check the footnotes and all that stuff, doc? You don't know an opinion article when you read one? As educated as you are, you can't tell an opinion article when you read an opinion article. Where's the proof? Where's the footnotes? Where's any of the science? Where's he backing up anything he's saying?" Listen, the reason they don't believe the sons of God are the sons of God is because they don't believe the Bible. You know what the sons of God are? The sons of God are fallen angels. How could you say that? You study what sons of God are in the Bible, and it's anything God creates directly. And God created those angels directly between God and them. Mm-hmm. Lucifer was a son of God. The fallen angels were sons of God, and they had a choice to rebel against God, and they did. You know what he's doing with you? You read John chapter 1, verse 12, right? Yeah. You for sure heard me quote it 100 times.
Yeah.
"To them gave he power to become what? Even to them that believe on his name."
Yeah.
I'm the replacement.
Yeah.
What they threw away, I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing all the way over here. And he's bringing down the city. And we'll look at it next week. You know what the new Jerusalem? This is the new Jerusalem. There's a new heavens and a new earth, right? New heaven. Excuse me, I keep saying it. Heavens. New heaven. New earth. And this is the new Jerusalem. And we'll look at it next time. Paul says it's the mother of you all. That's where you're going to dwell for eternity.
Amen.
He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare some place for you, I'll doubtless come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many..."
Amen.
Say that again.
Amen.
Oh, because some people nowadays have a Bible and they think they're getting rooms. Go to your room. You know what he said? You get mansions. You know what they say? How could Christians for 2,000 years who are in the body of Christ or sons of God actually all live in one city if we all get a mansion? Well, I'll tell you why. They can't do math. You have no idea. I'll try to show it to you how massive that city is going to be. It's a massive city. And there's one street. And it leads straight to the throne of God, and it's a street of gold. And that's where you're going to get to spend eternity. It's the mother of us all. This is where the bride of Christ spends eternity. The Jews get the new earth. And God's going to populate outer space with those Gentiles that come through the millennium and through the tribulation period, because they're going to be procreating into eternity future. Now, we already saw it. I'm going to close for tonight. But just click back here real quick to the book of Revelation. And I want to wrap it up right here if I can. Look at verse 4. We got the groundwork laid real well, so we'll dive into it a little bit more next time. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You guys, that's going to be a great day. Could you imagine when every pain you got, every disappointment you got, like we talked about this morning, every brokenness, every bitterness is gone? I haven't lived one day of my life like that. I see pain everywhere. Even if I'm having a good day, the more that the church grows and the more people there are to minister to, the more other people's, somebody's hurting somewhere all the time. It's tough. You know, the day is coming, he's going to wipe it all away. What a day that'll be. But wait a minute. You realize where we are? Everybody says when we go to heaven, there'll be no more crying. No, folks. You're talking about 1,000 years at a minimum, 1,000 years past wherever the second advent is, which hasn't happened yet. Whenever he comes back, raptures us out, then the tribulation period, then the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years until he takes away all memory and all pain and all sorrow. You feeling me yet? You feel me? That's why they say one life to live till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Maybe that's why Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Maybe that's why the preacher says you should do everything you do in light of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why it's really, really important that you get your act together. And I'm not harping on you. I'm my heart's burdened. Get your act together. Quit making excuses. Stop it. What are you talking about, preacher? I don't know. I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows, and he's in the room. And he's telling you what you need to stop it and start. Start what? Whatever the Lord's telling you to start, do it now. If you're not saved, now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. You have no promise he's going to let you. You don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. I hope you do. You don't know that you're not going to pull out here and get T-boned by somebody. I know an old man. The guy's 90, 89. Saw him this week. He did, I think he said 9 miles in 30 minutes on the bike, spin bike. Got talking to that old guy, and you know what? He's lonely. I think he said 3 or 4 years ago, his 80-something-year-old wife went out to get the mail, and a drunk girl smoked her. He found his wife laying in the ditch because the drunk girl hit her and kept going. 80-something years old. Now, can you imagine losing your wife like that at 80-something years old? I'm just telling you, you have no promise of tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. The day is the day. You better get serious about God now. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I'm saved. At least I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. Live however you want. The grace of God's good. I'm just going to lose out on some rewards at the judgment. It'll burn up. But at least I'm saved. I'm still saved. Whatever. You don't know that you won't be crying for 1,000 years in the millennium. You don't know that. You can't prove to me you won't. I can show you some verses in the Bible that seem to show us that we will be. That friend of yours, that family member of yours that you're not praying for every day and you're too chicken to witness to because you're afraid they're going to make fun of you, or because you don't want to straighten up your testimony so you can actually witness with effect. 1,000 years to think about it. And then to see him at the great white throne judgment and have him look at you and say, "You didn't tell me." I'm just saying, I think living for God's a pretty important thing. I don't know why people don't. I don't know why I don't sometimes. It's insanity. I don't know what anybody's afraid of. You should be afraid of not selling out for the Lord. That's what you should be afraid of. Because this day is coming sooner than you think. All right. Sorry it turned into a little bit of a preachy thing, but it is what it is, right? Yeah.